Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, no matter what you may have done or failed to do, God waits to welcome you home. With faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's boundless love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, abiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. People of God, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please join in singing our hymn, God Is Gone Up on High, number 181.
Thank you. of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Let us share with one another the sign of Christ's peace. You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at MIM Church. To do something a little different, I want you to look to your neighbor and say, "It's good to see you." Thank you. My name is Calvin Jones, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to our Sunday service today. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, and no matter how you are joining us today, whether online, on the radio, or here in our sanctuary, you are welcome here, and we are grateful for you. Today is the Sunday after the Ascension, the seventh Sunday of Easter, also affectionately known in the Memorial Church as Senior Sunday. Whoop, come on, you can clap right there. Our preacher for today is our own, the Reverend Matthew Potts. Our worship leaders are the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Harriet, Courtney, Elizabeth, and yours truly. Today's first lesson will be read by Jeremiah Laudra, and the second lesson will be read by Annalisa Lee. The university choir is led by Edward Jones and accompanied by David Von Baron. Do you know what time it is? It is commencement week. Can you believe it? Time has certainly flown by. This week, we will celebrate our graduates right outside. Baccalaureate service will be held Tuesday at 2 p.m. and commencement will be Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Please note that we will also have summer service. Our summer services will begin Sunday, June the 25th, and will end Sunday, July the 30th. We have some amazing preachers lined up for our summer services. Please keep a lookout for more information online and in our weekly newsletters. As we enter this commencement week, we are so grateful for the students and graduates who have served and shared their gifts with our community here in the Memorial Church. We want to take a moment to thank our seminarians, Harriet, will you stand? Elizabeth, will you stand? And Courtney. Let's give them a hand. Stand. We really appreciate you. You may be seated. We are so grateful as well that we have been frequented by the angelic voices of the university choir. We know that we have graduates in the choir as well. We would like to give the graduates and the entire choir a round of applause. To all of you who have blessed us each week with your melodious voices, we say thank you. For more information about these announcements or to learn more about all that is happening in our community, please sign up for our weekly newsletter and visit our website. Jesus said to God, "All mine are yours, and all yours are mine. Therefore, let us offer to God this day our lives and labors in service of Christ's love. Our offering goes to support the work of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. The collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God."
Thank you. A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at the 15th verse. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to that which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, beginning at the 44th verse. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray.
God of new possibilities, we give thanks for your constant reminder that you have a vision of our world that far exceeds our present realities. Call us up out of our cynicism, apathy, and fear to keep our eyes on the life that you would have us live. Holy One, you are the source of all of our inspiration. In this season of transition and threshold, may this university continue to be a lively center of sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom. May those who teach and those who learn find you to be the source of all truth. We are grateful for the courage and determination you make available to us to sustain our efforts to work for better relationships, justice, and peace. Help us to find the language and the courage to share our own faith stories with each other, and to be open, honest, and humble in all of our interactions. Gracious and merciful God, we pray for our world and all those places where violence and tyranny cause so much suffering. We pray for places and peoples with uncertain futures. We pray for people driven out of their homes and their homelands and struggling to survive. We pray for those who do not have enough food to sustain them or water to quench their thirst. We pray for those whose freedom is always precarious or even non-existent. Let your spirit search deep within our hearts and pray for all of your hurting children with groans too deep for words. Let us remember there is no place that we can go that you won't be by our side, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Compassionate Christ, we can feel so helpless at times. Help us to enact your commandment to love one another as you loved us. Your promise to be with us always through the comfort of your Holy Spirit. Let us pray for those who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit. We ask for healing and grace and peace. Be our light in this world. O Creator, maker of heaven and earth, we come into your presence and we know ourselves to be recipients of great and wonderful gifts. The earth, the sky, the waters, given to us in such abundance and beauty. Steadfast love, don't let our comfort blind us to the newness you are making in our midst. A newness that is taking us in directions that we might not even choose on our own. A newness that moves beyond our safe horizons, out beyond what we can control. Yet we also know this much does not change. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are our God, and we are your people. Bound to you by the love of Jesus Christ and by the call of your Holy Spirit. Hold us deep in that truth, even as you move us into your new creation. Creating and recreating God, take us in our uncertainties and make us anew. We pray all of this in the name of your Son and our Savior, who has gone ahead of us into your new future and who beckons us to follow. Amen. And let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of our God, who loves us as a parent and loves us as a child and loves us as a friend and a companion. Amen. So it's the seventh Sunday of Easter today, the last Sunday of Easter. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. It's also the Sunday after the Ascension, and we're using the lessons from the Feast of the Ascension. You heard about the Ascension in our readings. Jesus is lifted up, taken away from the disciples. And it's also Senior Sunday, as we mentioned. We're saying goodbye to a lot of you. Seniors and other graduates of the university, others who have been here for the year and are moving on to other things. So in many ways, in most ways, it's a farewell service today, a service that says goodbye. To some of you, we're saying goodbye until the end of June. To some of you, we're saying goodbye for longer. About 2.5 weeks ago, Sophie Choate gave the senior secretary's, choir secretary's address at morning prayers, and she made me cry, thinking about saying goodbye. When I got this job a couple of years ago, you know, I tried to figure out what this job was and what it would be like, and I've spent the time since then figuring out what this job is and what it's supposed to be like. And in some ways, it's a church job. This is a church like other churches, but in other ways, it's different. And Colette and I were talking this year. One of the ways it's different is there's a lot of good saying goodbye in this church. Every year, we'd say goodbye to a crop of folks we've come to know and to love, and that's hard. Ascension 2, the Feast of the Ascension, is about saying goodbye. It's about saying farewell. The story of the Ascension that we get today comes from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And that 24th chapter of Luke is very compressed. A lot of stuff happens in that 24th chapter. It begins with the resurrection, the experience of resurrection that the women had at the tomb, and Jesus is not there. They're told that Jesus has risen. And they go and tell the disciples, and the disciples don't believe. But then a couple of the disciples are walking to Emmaus. They're getting out of Jerusalem because they're scared, and they meet the stranger on the road. And it's only when they break bread together that they realize it was Jesus, and then he disappears. And then they run back to the disciples again and tell the disciples. And while they're telling the other disciples, then Jesus appears to all of them. And then after that, they go out to this place near Bethany, as we hear in our lesson today. And Jesus says goodbye to them, is lifted up, taken away from them. When I was an undergraduate, I studied abroad in London, and I was a real church nerd. This is probably not a surprise to many people in this congregation, but that was a great semester abroad for me because I'm Anglican. I come out of the Anglican tradition. There's lots of Anglican churches in London, as it happens. And so I spent a lot of time in my study abroad semester going to church. And that semester ended around the same time. It ended right around the Feast of the Ascension. And I remember walking home from church, having gone to this Ascension Day service. And I was walking back to the apartment I lived in, walking along Bayswater Road near Hyde Park. And I remember suddenly like having this twofold realization, which is a little bit unsettling for me as a church nerd, as a person who would spend their spring semester or junior year going to church a lot. I remember thinking about this Feast of the Ascension and Jesus' body being lifted up into the heavens And then I asked myself the follow-on question, which was, well, what happened then? What happened next? After this body was lifted up into the heavens, where did it go? In ancient cosmology, in the way the ancient people who were hearing the story for the first time thought about the nature of the universe, up there was a place, and Jesus could go up there and live up there. But that's not the way we think about the universe anymore. None of us has this ancient cosmology. None of us believes that Jesus' body is, you know, in orbit somewhere around the earth or floating around in space. Jesus is lifted up into the heavens, and the gospel makes a very serious point of saying bodily lifted up. This was not a spiritual ascension, a bodily ascension, lifted up into the heavens. And it made sense to them because there was a place up there where bodies could go, but we don't really think of it that way anymore. And so the second thing I realized is that, oh, then the body has to go away up there. That ascension, this departure, is about saying goodbye. It's about letting go of this man, Jesus. And what I realized in that moment, walking along Bayswater Road in central London, was that the resurrection and the ascension do not really solve the problem of loss for us Christians. Rather, they try to put us into a different relationship with loss. And that indeed, from the first experiences of the first Christians, saying goodbye, letting go, has always been a big part of the job of being a Christian. So some of you are going away for a while, some of you are going away for a few weeks. Those of you who have been coming to church know I like to talk about Greek word origins and etymologies, and in some of the other morning prayers talks, we had some people joking about my etymologies. Well, since you're going to be gone for a while, I've got three etymologies for you today to tide you over until the next time you hear me preach. I had this intuition when I was looking at chapter 24, because it includes the resurrection and the ascension, there's lots of lifting and raising up that happens in 24. And so I had this intuition and this thought, like, what are all the different words that are used to talk about Jesus being raised up, lifted up? Because, you know, in ancient Greek, there's no word like resurrection, which has this kind of heavy theological valence to it. In English, it's just Jesus got up. That's the way it sounds in Greek. So I was curious, well, what is it, the same language we use when we talk about Jesus going up into the heavens? So here are the three etymologies you can have. The first is from the beginning of chapter 24, when Jesus is raised. The word for resurrection there is the verb agero, which just means to get up. Usually to get up from sleep, but also to be raised up in that way, to be aroused, like roused from sleep. That's agero. In the passage we have today, there are a couple of different versions of lifting or raising. One, Jesus raises his hands to bless them. That word is apero. Interestingly, the author of this passage tells the same story again at the beginning of the book of Acts. And when he talks about Jesus being lifted up into the heavens there, he uses that word, the same word for lifting as an act of blessing, Jesus taken up into the heavens there. But in today's lesson, from the end of the book of Acts, when it says that Jesus is taken up, carried up, the translation we had today, carried up into the heavens, the Greek word that Luke uses here is anaphero, which means to lift up. It can also mean to lift up for sacrifice, which is interesting, but not what I'm going to preach about today. Because the third thing it can mean is to bring up or to bring to its end, to bring to its conclusion. Anaphero has the metaphorical sense of taking a thing to its proper end and to its proper conclusion. There is this sense of ending at the end of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has done all this work, and he has been raised. But even though he has been raised, he is still saying, literally saying, goodbye to them. And his work is coming to an end as he is lifted up into the heavens. Or is it? is Jesus' earthly work brought to an end. Because as he is being lifted up, he doesn't just like get carried away. He says some things to the disciples as he's going. He says to them, "I am sending to you what my Father promised you." Another way to translate this line is he says, "I am sending my Father's promise upon you. My Father's promise is now yours to bear. My Father's, our God's promise now belongs to you, and you are the bearers of that promise." And what is the promise that Jesus has been telling people about since the beginning of his ministry? The promise of God's infinite and enduring and unending love for them. That promise, he says, is yours to bear. So go and preach repentance and forgiveness to all people everywhere. This is what Jesus says as his ministry comes to its earthly end. He turns to the people who are saying goodbye to them and says, "This promise now is yours to keep for me. Go do it." We who call ourselves disciples of Jesus, we are the end of Jesus' ministry. And I mean that in the sense that we are the goal of it. We are the means of it. We are both its purpose and its perpetuity. We are the life of Jesus in this world. Jesus says goodbye to them, and he's asking them to deal with his absence. He's asking them to deal with this loss. And it's important what they do when he makes this ask, because they don't just stand staring up into the heavens, pointing at where Jesus went, or worshiping the heavens. And they don't build a shrine in the place where Jesus went up into the heavens. They do what he said. They carry it forth. Because Jesus had told them to go, they go out into the world preaching repentance and forgiveness to everyone, to friends and to enemies, to all nations, in the temple every day, blessing God, praising God. "Here is how to live with my loss," Jesus says. "Keep my ministry alive. Give this promise that I have given to you, give it away." And as Jesus fades from their sight, they carry his ministry into the future, a future they could not have imagined, among a people they could not abide or understand, because they refuse, in that moment of his departure, they refuse to let all that Jesus meant to them drift lifelessly away into the sky. I fear that we who call ourselves Christians are too often guilty of burying our memory of Jesus or of letting it drift aimlessly into the sky. We try to preserve it as if in a museum, or we adorn it and confine it to an hour on Sunday morning. But for this memory, the memory of this man who loved his enemies and served the poor and forgave sinners and healed the sick, for that memory to live, we can't just worship it in here, we also have to take it out there. And that doesn't mean standing on street corners shouting, that's not what I'm saying. It means we have to make Jesus' causes our own. We have to give them life in the world he has loved. Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension, which we observe here today, is not about Christ floating up in the sky or out in space somewhere. It's about Christ here in our hearts. It's about Christ there, out there in our world. Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension, this departure reminds us that if Christ lives in any meaningful way, he has to live in us and in those whom we serve. Those whom we serve. To you who are departing this church for a short time or a long time, to you to whom we are saying goodbye, I hope we have served you well. Please know how much you have done and how much you have meant to us. Please know that you have been such a gift to this church, that you have made this place come alive with Christ, that you have made us come alive with Christ. And it is hard to see you go. But you have to go, we know. So, here's what we who remain will do. We will hold you in our hearts as you go. And when others come after you to grace this place again with their presence, please know that the spirit of love and welcome we offer them will belong to you as well, because it will have come from you, and we will offer it to them in your memory. Go in peace with our blessing. Amen.
Let us sing the closing hymn, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, hymn number 184.
To conclude our service today, we're going to actually have two blessings. First, a blessing of our graduating students, and then second, a blessing of the whole congregation. So if I could invite all students who are graduating, who are departing the university, to come down into the center aisle so all of us can bless you. Come on down. Come up, come up, come close, come close. Get close, get close, get close, get close, get close. We have some choristers who are on their way too, I think. You're there. All right, so I'll give some instructions to the congregation. So we're gonna do this together. I can't bless by myself, not a blessing this big or this beautiful. So I'm gonna need help from the whole congregation. I'm gonna lift up my hands to pray just like Jesus did. And I'm gonna ask you, just like Jesus did, to lift up your hands and pray for all of these folks. So if you would please hold your hands up high and extend them towards these folks who we're saying goodbye to and bidding farewell to. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. May God be for all of us, and may we be for one another, a defense in emergency, a harbor in shipwreck, a refuge on the journey, shade in the heat, light in the storm, a staff on the slippery slope, joy amidst suffering, consolation in sadness, safety in adversity, caution in prosperity, that we may safely arrive where we are boldly going. And may the blessing of God Almighty and All-Loving be with every one of you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Congratulations to you all. We'll see you out on the Tercentenary Theater later this week. And then this blessing is for all of you until we see you again. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands and feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good works. Yours are the hands which with Christ blesses all creation. So may the blessing of God, who has loved you forever and whoever shall, be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.